standing. Thanks. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day from God the Father and from our living and our loving Savior Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Morning, St. Luke's. Special welcome to those of you who might be joining us for the first time, like if you just moved here from California, or first time in a long time, or first time today. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're together. My name is Pastor Dan. I get to serve as pastor here. And as you heard in the announcements, this is kind of a busy time at St. Luke's. We've got a lot going on. It's a busy morning at St. Luke's. We had our bounce house and dunk tank earlier. If you didn't see Pastor Aaron shivering in the dark, coldy rain this morning in the dunk tank, way to go. After this service, we've got hot dogs and burgers and just time together as a family. It's a busy morning. It's a busy time. And so perhaps it's more than just a little ironic that on this Sunday, we begin our six-week teaching series, Searching for Sabbath. We are searching for Sabbath. I am searching for Sabbath. My guess is that you're searching for Sabbath too. The Hebrew word Shabbat, Sabbath, it's got various nuances and shades of meaning depending on its context, but for this series, we're trying to tap into the really core idea, the essence of what Sabbath is and means is the idea of rest. Sabbath means rest. And searching for Sabbath means searching for rest. We are searching for Sabbath. I am searching for Sabbath, and my guess is that you're searching for Sabbath too. One of the places I regularly look for Sabbath and rest in my life is I've got this glowing box in my living room. You got one of these? So I wake up early, I try to have a cup of coffee before I talk to another human, and then after my coffee, I go to work where I drink more coffee so I can talk to more people. And then after a long day at work, I come home, help Charlotte put dinner on the table, give the kids the bath, put them to bed, and then at 8:30, I land on my couch, and I see what's new on Netflix. And the couch just welcomes me home every evening. It's got this spot that's just conformed to me. And I sit down and the couch whispers, I missed you. And I whisper back, I missed you too. And we have this special moment. And I plop down and I see what's new on Netflix. And this is what I do. This is my routine. Most nights of the week, that's what I do. Charlotte finished reading with Alexis. Then she joins me down and we watch something for a little bit together. And that's one of the ways I kind of unwind and kind of decompress from my regular life and the other stuff I got to deal with all the time. And that's one of the ways I try to relax, because like you, I am searching for Sabbath. And I'm not alone in searching for Sabbath with Netflix. So here's some numbers for you. You don't have to write them down, but just kind of let them wash over you. Netflix has 109-ish million subscribers worldwide. I'm part of that, and I bet some of you are too. So Netflix has 109 million subscribers, and we subscribers for Netflix, if you put all together the time that we watch Netflix every day, we 109 million subscribers watch 140 million hours of Netflix a day. Little over an hour, not quite an hour and a half, and my household is on pace with that. Between Curious George for, 40 minutes in the afternoon, and then my hour in the evening, we might even be ahead of pace on that. So I'm a part of that, you're a part of that too. 140 million hours a day, each day, every day, 7 days a week. So if you added that up, 1 week, and this is just like subscribers of Netflix. This isn't counting the fact that there might be four of us watching TV, but just this, the subscriber alone, Netflix subscribers, each week we watch 1 billion hours of content. Now that's kind of hard to wrap your mind around, a billion hours. Some reference point, church today is going to be just over 1 hour. Most of you slept last night probably 6 to 8 hours. A day has 24 hours. A week has 168 hours. A year has just under 9,000 hours. A billion hours is more than 114,000 years. A week. And that's just Netflix. That's not counting Hulu or Amazon Prime. And that's not counting the fact that the average iPhone user, like me, unlocks my phone more than 80 times a day, which is more than once every 12 minutes, every single waking hour of my life. So Netflix, a billion hours a week, 114,000 years worth of screen viewing every week on Netflix. Add to Netflix the fact that YouTube streams 1 billion hours of content a day. 114,000 years worth of time is spent on YouTube worldwide every single day. In addition to Netflix and YouTube, just Americans alone, when it comes to TV, like broadcast, satellite, cable TV, just like TV, Americans watch a billion hours of TV a day. So if you added just Netflix, YouTube, and TV, we watch 1 million years worth of content a week. And I'm not saying that's good, I'm not saying that's bad, and I'm part of that, and I'm on pace with most of those numbers. My question for you this morning is, how's that working for you? How's that working for us? Now, there's more to life and faith than just the simple pragmatics of things, but from a purely pragmatic point of view, how's that working for you? Do you find yourself just continually rejuvenated all the time? Do people come up to you and say, "Man, Aaron, you look really refreshed. Did you watch a couple hours of TV yesterday?" You know, when people ask how you're doing, 9 times out of 10, you just say, "Man, I am rested." Or like me, or are you still searching for Sabbath, longing for rest? In the year 400 AD, there was a North African bishop named Augustine. And Augustine wrote a prayer to God. It's a book-length prayer, but one of the lines in his book-length prayer I think is significant for us. Augustine said this. He wrote it in Latin, but we always quote it in King James because it sounds better. He said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless, without rest, until it finds its rest in thee." From a physical, mental, and kind of emotional point of view, I could share a number of tips that might help you find more restful rest than just screen time. My hunch is, though, that you already know them, and then they wouldn't be revolutionary. My hunch is, like me, you're probably not doing them, though. And so there are lots of practical, pragmatic strategies to have more rest in your life. Things like turn your phone off. Maybe even now. We had 2 or 3 ring last service, so just check real quick. But turn your phone off. Leave work at work. Don't check email after you go home or on the weekends. Maybe you should go sign up for that sleep apnea test your spouse has been bugging you about. Get the silly CPAP machine and sleep, finally. You know, there are lots of steps that you can take to have more rest and rejuvenation in your life. Go for a walk. Go for a slow walk. Like an intentionally slow walk, and look at the bigness of creation and the smallness of creation. My boys and I, we went for a walk Friday morning and we found a grasshopper. We played with that grasshopper for 30 minutes, and that was the happiest they were all weekend. Now, if you ask them, what do they want to do? They say they want to watch a movie, but if you observe them where they had joy, it was playing with that grasshopper. If you want to have more rest in your life, then get more exercise, eat better food, have more friends and family over. Clean your kitchen for 20 minutes. A clean kitchen will have much more peace in your life than an hour of TV is going to give you. There are lots of simple steps that you could take to have more rest in your life. And those are good. Some of the ones I shared, maybe you've got your own. And how about over a hot dog after lunch, you can share, or during lunch, you can share with me your tips, and I'll share with you mine, and we can talk about what's working or what's not. And I just want to encourage you from a very practical point of view, ask if it's working for you. Ask yourself, the things that the world is telling you that this is going to make you feel better and refreshed and rested, take a look at those things and ask if it's actually working. So from a physical, mental, emotional point of view, there are very concrete steps we can take, but I'm not here as a life coach. I'm here as a pastor. And so spiritually speaking, and not spiritual like as distinct from the body, not spiritual as this compartmentalized, you know, hermetically sealed component of your life that you bring out on Sundays for an hour, but spiritual in the sense of who you are, spiritual, the essence of you in your embodied life as a full human being created in the image of God, as your pastor, spiritually speaking, to the very core of who you are, I want to encourage you to try and make Augustine's prayer your own. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. You have made me for you, O Lord. And my heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. We are all searching for Sabbath. And we work really hard at rest. Does that seem ironic to you? Like, we work really hard at rest. We spend a lot of time and energy on money trying to rest. You plan a great trip, and you get back and say, Brian, how was it? You say, oh, it was great, but now I need a vacation from my vacation. We are not good at rest. We're tired-er having tried to rest. Something's not right here. But from the very beginning, God's plan is that Sabbath rest would be a gift he offers to you. We are striving to try to achieve something that God wants to offer you to freely receive. See, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, God rested. And God instituted Sabbath. And God blessed rest as a gift of divine initiative. And this is before there was sin. This is before mankind had turned on God, and now we labor by the sweat of our brow and thorns and thistles and work is hard. Even before there was anything broken, God's pristine and perfect world, his ideal was capped off with rest. God rested. God instituted Sabbath. God blessed rest as a gift of divine initiative. And as God walked with his people, he continued to reinforce this idea that rest is a gift. As a parent, I'm constantly wrestling with my kids, trying to say, like, I'm doing this for you. You ever have those moments? Like, this is supposed to be fun. I'm trying to, you know, like, I'm trying to give you a great life and bless you, and we're going to have a great day, but you're making it worse, and I have to put rules in place so that we have fun, and that seems crazy. And I told my boys yesterday morning, if you just be nice to each other, we're going to have a better day, so be nice so we can have fun. And so now I have rules for the sake of rest. And it's kind of like that with us and God. God's trying to say, let me give you rest. And we're not good at rest, so he has to make rules to tell us to rest. And so when God unpacks his rules and his will for who we are as his covenant people, We get the Ten Commandments. It's Exodus chapter 20. It's page 61 in your Bible. And I don't know if you noticed how God spends his time unpacking the Ten Commandments for us. If you ask people what the Ten Commandments are, maybe we could start with our board members or the people who've been the longest tenure members here at St. Luke's to name the Ten Commandments. And then people get really interested in their shoes all of a sudden. I'm not gonna quiz you. But if we did, if I said, hey, what are the Ten Commandments, or can you name some of the Ten Commandments, we typically start with things like don't murder, don't commit adultery, and don't steal, like big things like that, and that's good. I mean, those are bad, but it's good that we know those things. And we've got work to do there, people of God, in terms of helping our neighbor and their physical needs and making sure that our sexuality happens in the context of marriage and not taking things, like don't steal copper wire and go sell it in Tacoma, but also don't steal from your employer by doing non-work things at work because they're paying you to do your job. You know, we've got work to do on murder, adultery, and stealing, but if you notice in the Ten Commandments, God spends almost no time on those three. We're a little slower to remember, oh yeah, honor your father and mother, and by extension, honor all those in authority, even if they don't deserve it. God actually has a lot more to say about that than those first three. We're a little bit slower to remember things like, oh yeah, don't lie, but that also means don't gossip, but that also means don't gossip even if it's true and talk about other people. We're still a little bit slower to remember that the Ten Commandments tell us to be content and not covet stuff. That's part of the Ten Commandments. Like, be content and don't covet stuff is on the same level with don't commit adultery. And God actually says a whole lot more about not coveting than he does about adultery. By the way, when we're watching TV, I'll mute the commercials. And I just tell my kids, they're trying to make us not happy with what we have so that we spend more money, but we're happy with what we have. And every time a commercial break comes on, I mute it, and I remind us to be thankful for what we've got. That's an aside. Practical tip, number four, write it down. All right, so, but we say, what are the Ten Commandments? We murder, adultery, stealing. Yeah, fine, but God, he almost says nothing about those. He says a lot more about honoring your parents. He says a lot more about not coveting. But the two commandments God spends the most time unpacking by far are, the, as we count them, the first and third commandments. You shall have no other gods. And that means don't worship rocks and trees. It means don't worship other religious gods. It means don't let yourself be God. Have no other gods. And the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. These are the two that God seems to care a lot about. These are the two that God spends a lot of time unpacking in the Ten Commandments. And I don't think it's a coincidence that one and three, no other gods and remember the Sabbath day, I don't think it's a coincidence that they get a lot of words attached to them, because I think these two commandments are very related. We're not very good at the third commandment, rest, because we're not very good at the first commandment, trusting God. I'm not very good at resting because I want to be God. I don't say it like that most days, but that's how I live it. I'm not very good at resting because I have to work and I have to strive and I've got to keep things going, because if I don't, the universe is going to fall apart. It sounds silly when I say it aloud, but when I'm checking email at 8:30 in the evening, it makes perfect sense. I'm not very good at the third commandment because I'm really bad at the first commandment. And I've got to work, and I got to solve the problems. Even if I'm just watching a YouTube video of political parties debating by myself in my kitchen, I've got to solve this, and I've got to fix it, and I've got to fix people, and I've got to fix you, and I've got to fix this church, and I've got to fix my home. I've got to fix all this stuff, because if I don't fix it, the world's going to go to hell. Again, it's silly to say it aloud, but when I wake up at 3 in the morning thinking about these things, that's where I'm at. And when God gives the Ten Commandments, it's as if God is saying, hey Dan, come here for a second, bud. Hey, Dan, you're trying to do my job. Hey, Dan, how about you just let me be God? And Dan, how about I'll be the creator, and I'll be the savior, and I'll be the Lord and bringer of life. And I say to God, you know, as he makes that conviction known through his word, I say to God, sure, God, you got it. Sounds great. You be God, I'll be me. Division of labor, I like it. I'm in. But between us, I don't think he knows how much I do for him. I don't think he realizes how much I'm contributing to this. And if I stop what I'm doing, I don't know if he's going to be able to pull it off like he thinks he is. And then God says, I can still hear you, Weber. Dang it, Dan. You know, God says, Dan, you're doing it again. Stop. Just stop, Dan. Stop. Stop trying to be me. Stop trying to be God. Let me be God. You weren't made for all that. He says, Dan, here's what I need you to do. Dan, I just need you to go sit down and be quiet. Just sit down. Just sit there. You know what? As a matter of fact, Dan, don't just sit there. Go take a nap. You look tired. I need you to sit there and do nothing and see that I've got this. I need you to close your eyes for a while and be completely helpless in the world and then wake up and realize that nothing changed. I need you to let me be God because I've got this. And I've got you. So just stop. Just stop. And let me do my thing. And just watch. Just take it in. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, he got to the edge of the Red Sea, and the waters were still roaring, and the Egyptians and their chariots are coming from behind, and they had no hope, and they didn't have a plan. There's nothing they could do to get themselves out of this. And God gave a word to Moses, and Moses turned to the Israelites, and he said, fear not and stand firm. In other words, just stop. He says, fear not and stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. Just watch. Let him do his thing. On an ancient scroll, King David penned his famous words, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall lack nothing. He leadeth me beside still waters. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. And as Jesus stood in a crowd of people who had this never-ending to-do list, who were tired from trying to check off all the boxes and getting nowhere, Jesus says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In your search for Sabbath rest, I want to encourage you to take a few moments this week and see if what you're doing is working for you. And if it's not, consider some other practical and pragmatic steps to finding more rest in your life. If watching grown men play with a ball for 3 hours is refreshing, great. Great. I love it. But if you would be more refreshed with a half-hour walk and a half-hour phone call to your mom, and a half hour of prayer, and a half hour nap, and a half hour tidying your house, and a half hour just talking with your family. If that would be more restful, great. But have the courage to ask the question to see if it's working. But at a deeper level, at a spiritual, at the core of who you are as a human being level, I want to invite you today to again receive the gift of rest. To rest in Jesus. Rest in Jesus who invites you to come unto him. Rest in Jesus as he invites you to lay down your burdens, to lay down your fear, to lay down the pressure, to lay down your striving, to lay down your need to achieve and atone and to prove your worth. Rest in Jesus. He has achieved. He has done what is needful. He provides for you body and soul. He has atoned for your shortcomings and your failings, and there's nothing left for you to make up to somehow prove your worth to him. You have been gifted eternal and infinite worth in Jesus, and you don't need to add to that. His gift of worth and value and identity to you lacks nothing. You don't need to prove that you belong by being the best mom or the best dad or the best worker or the best pastor or the best cornhole thrower or whatever your identity rests on that's not Christ. You don't need to do that to earn your spot. He gifts you with value in Jesus. His death really does pay for your debt, and there's nothing left to do. He says it's finished, and he means it. And his resurrection on the third day really does begin a new creation in which Sabbath and rest are perfectly restored and gifted to the people of God. Rest in Jesus, because in Jesus there is an eternal Sabbath rest. Rest in Jesus, because God, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's on the job. And guess what? It's his job anyway. Rest in Jesus, because as your great high priest, he has sat down at the right hand of God the Father and kicked his feet up, because there's nothing left to do. The job is done. Rest in Jesus as you are refreshed by his word and gather with his people to be filled with his all-sufficient grace. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. And Jesus says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To which I say, thanks be to God. Amen.